This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 270 for the week ending Saturday, May 2nd, 2015. Hello, everyone. I'm Jeff Nielsen, also known as Captain Jeff.
I'm your captain.
I'm your captain.
I'm your captain.
And I'm kind of feeling... kind of sick. And also joining us today from Oklahoma is Steve
Oklahoma,
Nielsen.
The wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the wind.
Hello, everybody. It's a beautiful day here in Oklahoma. I'm glad to be here sharing it with you.
We're glad that you're here joining us as well. And from Malta, Montana, we have Father Corey Stika.
There's a rodeo. Well, good morning. I rousted myself out of my sick bed and was able to get here this morning.
Well, we're so glad you're feeling better, although you sound like you have some residual stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff
it's still hanging on. A little bit of cough and all that kind of fun stuff. You know, still feeling a little gunky, but it's a lot better than it was. I was pretty wiped last week, so I needed the extra sleep.
Well, I hope that your parishioners gave you some peace and quiet to this week so you could help...
Well, I ran off and went visit my folks for a couple of days, so that took care of that.
Oh, good. Well, you know, that's always nice to go home and mom take care of you.
She makes
make you some soup and stuff.
Well, actually, the other good things than that, but yeah, every time they go to Seattle, they'll go hit Pike's Place Market mm-hmm. and get seafood. Of course, you can't get fresh seafood in North Dakota and Montana. So they go to Seattle and get it there. You know, they'll go spend hundreds of dollars at that place and, you know, just get the overnight shipping, the whole works. You know, it's pretty nice.
That's nice.
So they had some really nice prawns they made up. So that's the kind of home cooking I get when I go home, you know.
Nice. You know, you just don't think of that kind of thing in Montana. I guess, on the coastline. Wait a minute. No, it doesn't have a coastline. But it has some beautiful mountains, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful country, that big sky Montana country. So what do they do? Like put it in the deep freeze or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll get it home and freeze it and then just kind of portion it out throughout the year, you know. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it while they can. Because, you know, even it's kind of strange, but even if you get it fresh and you freeze it yourself, for some reason it tastes better than if you buy the stuff from the store that's already frozen. I don't know. What it is, maybe it's because it's not sitting in the freezer as long. Who knows? I mean, mm-hmm. you never know how long that stuff that's at the store, how long that's actually been frozen. You know, when was it they actually produced it? So it's always enjoyable to get the fresh stuff when you can.
Speaking of that, did you hear about something that was in the news yesterday? Apparently a school district, it was discovered they'd served some food, some beef or something that had been frozen for 6 years or something.
Yes.
Mm, that must have been tasty.
Yummy.
Yum.
I mean, I've got some old stuff in my freezer, but it's certainly not 6 years old.
I mean, in theory, if it was packaged well, it should be okay, but...
Well, yeah, the FDA came back and said, yeah, you know, you can freeze stuff indefinitely, but it's not recommended, and it certainly probably doesn't taste anything like it's supposed to.
No. I can't imagine the freezer burn on that stuff.
Ooh. Oh, I know.
Get out like a car ice scraper and, you know, scrape off all the frost. You know?
Yeah, right. It probably is like, is this meat? I'm not sure what this is. Anyway, those poor kids. I guess they all survived, but...
Yeah.
I'm sure the parents weren't pleased.
Of course, how many times did we joke when we were kids about, you know, whether or not it was mystery meat, what they were actually serving us, you know?
Really?
So, Steve-O, how was your week?
This was a long, stressful week.
Really?
A lot of stuff going on, just a lot of problems at work. It's all right. You know, I survived. We were all looking forward to the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, you know, big news here in our country, the United States, or the are there, would you call them protests and not so peaceful protests or whatever, some stuff going on in Baltimore and various cities around the country actually joining the protest of mistreated people being arrested and that kind of thing. It's a lot of unrest here and kind of surprising the news. What was it yesterday that the indictments of the police officers and potential homicide charge? I hope that all this will somehow settle down soon.
Unfortunately, I don't see it happening. I really don't. You know, there are a combination of, you know, legitimate grievances, legitimate problems in our country. You know, I mean, we can't sugarcoat the fact that there are problems. There are police who abuse their authority. There are people who commit terrible crimes. At the same time, there are those who their wallets seem to get fatter the more the strife is stirred up.
You know? Good
you
point.
Know? So there's we can't also deny there are people who get wealth and fame off of being the in the forefront of these kind of things. So it's not going to go away anytime soon, I don't think, unfortunately.
Well, not to mention the fact, I just was reminded of the Weather Channel. By the way, happy birthday, Weather Channel. Today is their 33rd birthday.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
No kidding.
I saw a tweet that somebody made, and it had a kind of a black and white picture of this old Weather Channel logo and the guy sitting there and at the desk. And they've come quite a long way. But anyway, the Weather Channel, it's kind of a – I wonder if they feel this way. You know, there's like this horrible weather, like tornadoes and damage and destruction. And they know that their numbers are going to go just through the roof because people are going to be paying attention, tuning in. But on the other hand, that they're thinking, well, but this is not really good. I mean, all this stuff that we're reporting, we're getting these super great numbers, but it's really it's you know what I mean? It's like the same thing with the news.
Yeah. I get a kick out of watching it. I mean, a lot of the information they you know give you is really good, but you can always count on Jim Cantore standing out in the middle of a hurricane. You know? Yeah. And it's like, why? You know, why are you standing out there getting pelted with
it's all
with,
about the ratings, man.
I know, but it's just like, really?
I know.
Yeah, I can say if Jim Cantore shows up in your town, run.
Hey, look.
That's right.
You've got lizard or
I can't tell you how many times that he's been on my airplane, and every time I see him in the gate area, I'm thinking, uh-oh. You know, what? Why is he here? And he must be going where I'm going, and that's not good.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder if he's ever had someone come up to him and say, where are you going so I don't go there?
I'm sure he has. Probably some pilots.
Really? How many people have told him, it's like, you're the reason we have bad weather.
Oh, well. So, as you know, what can we do as Catholics for this situation? I think I know the answer, but Father, what do you think?
Well, I think for ourselves first, we need to make sure that we're treating others with justice, you know, you know, the fact is we all have our biases. I don't want to go as far as call it racist or sexist or anything like that, because those are terms that are overused. But we do have our biases. We do, you know, unfortunately, we do look at someone from a different culture and we make determinations on that. Sometimes they're valid, sometimes they're not. I think regardless of that, we still need to treat people with justice. We need to treat people fairly. We need to treat people equally. I think we need to, you know, and I do think we need to call our government to do the same. You know, police forces need to be held accountable when they do things that are beyond the pale. We need to, you know, all that, our, you know, from a government on down, you know, it's just people need to be treated with justice.
I agree. And then I was going to say, what else can we do? You're right. That's the most important. Well, not the most important thing, but that's definitely a concrete thing for us to do, kind of re-examine how we feel about certain things. But I was going to say also prayer. Pray for people, you know, hearts to soften and be more understanding of other people and treat people fairly, et cetera. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, Jeff. I just you appear to be projecting your desktop instead
of
your.
I am, because I'm getting ready to switch to another topic.
Okay, it just might be a little confusing for our video.
Yeah. Is it showing up on the big screen?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for it to. What I'm looking at is you, Steve, and Father Corey. Okay, well, let's do this while I'm hogging up the screen real estate. I'll go ahead and play this. Let me see. Let me get over here and hit this play button.
Start of a joke, right?
But this is no joke.
You see, when this priest walks into this bar,
we're in this for the long haul.
He's looking to slow or even reverse years of what many Catholic parishes have seen as a frustrating trend.
We are bringing the faith to them.
21 to 35-year-olds, Father Rich O'Donnell says, just aren't going to Mass the way their parents did. Average attendance across all ages is about half what it was in 1970. But O'Donnell, who leads two churches in Burlington, Vermont, saw opportunity in his city's downtown. The Burlington area is one of the hottest places in the country right now for craft beer, with fans seeking out new sips, new experiences. So Father Rich figured, why not mix microbrews and ministry?
If this is where we can meet him, then that's excellent.
What is love within the Trinity?
He and other speakers lead discussions of religion in this casual setting.
Never been to anything like it. Is it weird to come to a bar for this?
You know what? No, because I think this is exactly the platform that that ministry should be happening in. It's supposed to be a celebration of life.
On a recent Thursday night, the crowd at the Church Street Tavern, talking about how modern definitions of love impact their lives, dwarfed the attendance at the daily Mass just down the road at St. Anthony's.
This kind of thing brings people in.
Andrew Dudek tells us he usually skipped church altogether during his college years.
Why did you fall away? Probably because it's so easy.
Friends weren't going, he remembers, and hanging out with them, sleeping in, or doing schoolwork seemed like a better use of time. But these events reminded him church can offer community.
I think it makes a lot of sense. It's a smaller step than showing up to church.
He's even been attending traditional services lately, he says, looking for what he calls a greater understanding of his faith.
Now, this theology on tap concept has been taking place in spots like this elsewhere for years now. But for Vermont Catholic churches, it may take on some added urgency. This place has been called the least religious state in the entire country, and surveys have put weekly church attendance here at the lowest of all 50 states.
I'm not sure we ever could have kept them, just because the culture has changed so much.
Vince Boldick is a sociologist.
That, I guess we can put a link in the show notes if you want to watch the entire segment, which is pretty interesting. I think it's a very well done. Let me get back here so I can stop sharing that. I'm trying to find my window. It's here, and stop sharing. There we go.
There. Yay.
Okay.
Yeah. I identified with a lot with what he was talking about in there. That was sort of the basics of campus ministry when I was in a campus minister, was trying to, defining mission as going to where the people are, which is kind of what all mission is. You know, so it was like, well, they're in the dorms, they're in the bars, they're at the football games, that was like getting them in the door was good, but if they weren't going to come in the door, then we went to them as best we could.
I love the idea of theology on tap. I really do, or however you want to, whatever they call it. You know, I think theology on tap has actually kind of become a trademark, I like the idea of going and doing something in that more kind of that relaxed setting. I've even had people here kind of ask me to consider it. Means more work for me, of course, because I'm the one who's going to be presenting, so I actually need to come up with something to talk about for an hour or so, to discuss. But I like the idea, and it's actually kind of an old idea. I mean, I seem to recall that there are saints who used to go into the pubs and places like that, way back when. So it's not a new thing, kind of a new thing that there are pubs again that are more socially acceptable, I think is part of it. You know, we went through a time in this country where going to the bar was not really a place where you would find a priest. But now we've got brew pubs and things like that, the microbreweries and so on, that they're a little more socially acceptable, that anyone would go there. You know, they're not kind of the rough and rowdy places people think of bars. You know, but it's kind of fun. The idea is fun. It really is.
It's interesting. You know, they were interviewing that guy about you know, the fact that he hasn't gone to church. And then I thought it was a really telling statement that one said, you know, why haven't you been attending? Well, it's because it's so easy not to. Mm-hmm. So, and the fact that, you know, at first I wanted, my initial reaction is, well, you can't substitute Theology on Tap for going to traditional services because, you know, the Mass is where you receive the sacraments. But I'm thinking, well, on the other hand, let's take a few steps back and say, at least maybe this is, you know, encouraging him to mm-hmm. maybe revisit his faith. And he even mentions that, you know, he's been attending more and more Masses yep. during the week and that kind of thing. So,
well, I think there's also a benefit in putting a more relaxed human face on the mm-hmm. church. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many things that compete for young people's attention, you know, TV, I mean, just name it. There's hundreds yeah. of things that compete for their time. And then you don't want whatever random interaction they have with the church to be a judgmental one or a, you know, one that they're going to not identify with. But having something like Theology on Tap where it's a relaxed and it's a friendly and it's an, you know, an open sort of encounter, I think is really good.
Yeah, I think it's really great.
Yeah, and that's probably the important thing too is, it's something I've struggled with is how do you get people to come into the church when, yes, if you're not into Mass, if you're not excited about Mass is boring. You know what I mean? There's nothing interesting to Mass and sometimes Mass is downright painful depending on the music and preaching and whatever else. But how do you get people to get interested in Mass without them coming to Mass and getting bored? Well, you know, something like this is a kind of a good gateway. Mm-hmm. Where if you can kind of talk to them, you know, help them see the importance of the Mass, see the importance of what's happening there in an environment that's a little more relaxed, a little more fun, then maybe they'll be more interested in the Mass, and then they'll start coming more. You know, so that's, yeah, it's, I love the idea. It really is a...
Well, I think that the reason why people aren't really thinking... Or they're thinking that Mass is boring is because they're not understanding what is happening. Mm-hmm. And this is a venue for them to learn more. And then maybe the light bulb exactly. goes off and goes, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. And this is what was happening in Mass.
Yeah. And I could see it as a good opportunity to raise questions, to learn about things that you might not understand. You know, why does... And you could think of, you know, typical... theology. Why does the church teach what she does about transubstantiation, the importance of confession? But you could also think of the controversial issues. Why does the church teach what she does about abortion, about same-sex so-called marriage, things like that, where these issues can be talked about in hopefully fairly friendly terms, you know, where it's relaxed, it's comfortable. Questions can be asked. Challenges can be laid out there, you know. Yeah, that's important.
I love what you did there. Same-sex so-called marriage.
Yeah, it's not... Here's a hint, folks. It's not marriage. It never will be marriage, no matter how much the government might say so.
Yeah. Right. And we don't mean that to be a mean thing to say.
It's a fact. I mean, yeah. Marriage is man and a woman. That's mm-hmm. it. You know, and it's... I know people don't want to hear that. I don't think we have... too many of our listeners that are get upset by that, but it's something I think we need to be. I also think we need to be clear about stating the facts like that. Mm-hmm. That's the definition of marriage. You can't change it.
Yeah. You know, a civil union or whatever, if you want to call it that, that's, you know, that's understandable. That's something, a term that we can all kind of agree upon, but calling it marriage is something mm-hmm. that is just not true.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's see. I was hoping that our Catholic drinky, Sarah, would have been with us and she could talk a little bit more about the beer aspect of it. But in our chat room here, John Kay says that they occasionally have Theology on Tap, sometimes wine-based, and they call it Theology Uncorked.
Mm-hmm. My parish has that. They do it. The way they do it is they'll have somebody come in and talk about wine pairings, you know, and then they'll also have like a theological topic in addition to that. So they get a little bit of learning about wine and also a little learning about the faith at the same time.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's move on to, oh, you know what? What I'd like to say right now. Today is the 2nd of May. Yesterday, May 1st, which is, of course, May Day. And I don't know what was disturbing to the air traffic controllers yesterday when I kept saying Happy May Day. And they said, excuse me? Who said May Day? But yeah, here, I don't have my rim shot available. Sorry. But May 1st is a very important anniversary for some very, very important people in the StarQuest Production Network world and community. And that is Mike Kuipers and Denise. And they are celebrating, or they just celebrated their third wedding anniversary. I can't believe that it's already been 3 years.
Well, happy anniversary to them.
Congratulations.
I was unaware that that was their anniversary day.
That's a little bird told me that, and I'm hoping that that is actually correct. I'm trying to find the applause. Here we go. Why is it not playing? Here we go.
Yay.
So happy anniversary, Denise and Mike. You mean so much to everyone here at SQPN. So I wanted to make sure that we mentioned that on the show. And the other thing I was going to say before we move on to another important date, May 5th, is that, you know, here at the StarQuest Production Network, that's kind of what we do. You know, the whole theology on tap, getting out there where the people are, that's what we're trying to do with our content and, you know, try to evangelize in that way. So if you're interested in helping us out with that, head over to the, you know, I should do. There we go. Got some music in the background, Punxsutawney Phil. Head over to sqpn.com and you can become a friend of SQPN and help out if you believe in what we're doing with our organization and our form of evangelization. You know, getting out there where the people are, showing them that Catholics aren't dull people, that Catholics share the same interests that you have, and we're real people too, and we are sinners too. And we know of this wonderful thing, the truth of the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins, and that we have ways, sacraments, in our church to kind of, you know, repair that relationship with him. And that's why we're so happy most of the time. So, but anyway, so that's, you know, that's kind of the deal for us. That's what we're doing out here. And if you believe in that, why don't you join so many other people that do also believe in that, and head over to sqpn.com and look for that Friends of SQPN sign up today. Do appreciate it.
Hey, Jeff, can I do a shout out for the CNMC?
Please do, yes.
Well, you know, there are so many people out there that, I mean, I was one of them, who thought that I had, you know, a way of participating in podcasting, you know, because, you know, when I was campus minister, there weren't any, I couldn't find any other campus ministry-oriented podcasts. And so I, because of the inspiration of SQPN and you know, all the people involved, I started to do a podcast because of it. I know there must be other people out there that just need a little bit of encouragement to figure out how this all works and to be a part of that community. And the best way would be to come to the CNMC and meet people in person and share ideas. I mean, that's how Sarah Fabulous got started, you know, because she came and she got inspired, and look at her now. She's got a book that's coming out. Or is it out already?
It's going to be out very soon.
Yeah. And all that happened because of the CNMC. So if you have an inkling, a desire, a call to do something in media, then you should come.
And, you know, I know that there are some people out there right now that are listening to me right now that do intend to one of these days, you know, start a podcast. And if what we're presenting at the CNMC in the actual, you know, real schedule doesn't quite fit exactly what you're looking for, trust me, as Steve just said, the beauty of getting together in person with all these people who have experience with new media is that you can get these one-on-one conversations going. You can learn a lot that way. I know for sure that I'm going to be talking to somebody about, you know, how do you, you know, have a podcast and using Skype or Google Hangouts like what we're using right now. How does that all work? How does the equipment work? How do I make the connections? What kind of hosting do I need, et cetera? So if it's not something that is just, you know, already laid out in our hard schedule, that doesn't mean that you're going to be able to learn from these experts out there. People like Steve, people like Father Corey, people like me, people like Maria, you know, and Sarah, if you're interested in blogging, they have experience doing it. You know, Catholic Mom, Lisa Hendy, she's going to be there. You know, there's so much, the depth of experience and expertise that are going to be all there at the same time. Is pretty incredible. And look, we're already getting into our bottom of the hour break, so we'll just keep on going here.
It's about the community, Jeff. It's about the community.
It is about the community.
Yeah.
It is. Exactly. I mean, if it weren't for the community, then why would we even be getting together, really, right?
Exactly.
CNMC, there's still spaces available for you if you've been kind of on the fence of whether or not this is worth going, worth spending your time, worth spending your money. Let me tell you, it really, really is. And it's turning out to be a small group of people. It's going to be a very intimate setting, and you're going to be able to really expand your horizons with all kinds of information. So it's going to be fun as well.
And where do they go, Jeff, to find out more information?
Well, good question, Steve. CNMC.SQPN.com will get you to where you're looking for. Or just hit the SQPN.com site, and at the top, you'll see a tab for the CNMC 2015. And there you can learn about all the speakers there, all the workshops that we're going to be having. All that information is right there. Hotel information. By the way, if you're going to be flying in, you don't have to worry about how you're going to get over to the Gateway Hotel or the Spring Hill Suites, which are the two hotels that we have conference rates, by the way. Make sure you take advantage of that, because you just go to the ground transportation area, like you're going to rent a car. You take this little people mover system for free, and it drops you off right there at the hotels and the Georgia International Convention Center, where we're holding our event. And it's so convenient. You don't have to worry about anybody picking you up and taking you over there, because it's already built in. So if you want to learn more about accommodations and the actual schedule and the speakers, etc., head over to sqpn.com, click on CNMC 2015 or cnmc.sqpn.com. Thank you very much. And we'll just fade that out. There we go. Okay, so I mentioned May 5th is a very important day, and many of you are thinking, well, of course, it's the Cinco de Mayo, and that's not what I'm talking about, although it is the Cinco de Mayo. It's a special day called Thank a Nun Day, a global movement inspired by 5 years in Heaven, The Unlikely Friendship That Answered Life's Greatest Questions by John Schlimm. And it's a social media event where social media users everywhere are invited to join an unprecedented global movement on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest called Thank a Nun Day. So it's not Sunday, it's Nun Day.
Yay!
And, you know, I don't really have a lot of experience with interfacing with nuns, because I'm a new Catholic. Well, I say new Catholic. I've been a Catholic now for, 15 years coming up here. But I didn't grow up in the church with, you know, seeing nuns all over the place, or, you know, my kids went to Catholic schools, but there aren't a lot of nuns in Catholic schools, at least here in the South. And so I don't, you know, I wasn't fortunate enough to have a relationship with nuns. Have either of you?
Not a lot. Of course, we've got nuns that we've gotten to know through the CNMC, through, you know, like the Daughters of St. Paul. Of course, we've talked about them before, how close friends they are with us. I did have one religious sister as a teacher back when I was in elementary school because I went to Catholic school only for a couple of years. But beyond that, not a lot. You know, unfortunately out here, we don't have a lot of religious sisters anymore, at least not when I've been growing up.
Well, I went to a parochial school in Texas until I was in third grade, and it was run by nuns. And, you know, my very first teacher was Sister Stefana. And I still, all my brothers and sisters, we all had Sister Stefana. And she was terrific. And, you know, but we had some nuns in the family. And through campus ministry, I got to know a lot of them. And I've always been impressed by so many of them have this sort of joy of life that I wish I could capture. It's like, why can't I be like them? You know, but nuns are all very different. I mean, there's like priests. There's no, you know, you can't stereotype a priest anymore. You can stereotype a nun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I said, the nuns that I have met in my life since becoming Catholic are just wonderful people. And mm-hmm. we're going to have some at the CNMC, by the way. See if we tie that in.
Yes.
The Pauline sisters are going to be, they're going to have a vendor table. And, you know, so Sister Anne is going to be there.
There's always such joy when they're around.
Yes.
You know, so many of these religious sisters. And, of course, like you said, you can't stereotype them. I've met some bitter nuns, but they're pretty rare.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's always such joy, especially, you know.
Steve is thinking about something. Share it, please.
Well, I just know that, you know, when I was working with SQPN, I had this weakness for nuns. Like, if they asked for a favor, I couldn't say no. So, they said, "Do you suppose you could do this?" Like, "Oh, yes, sister, I can do that." "What about this?" Okay, stop asking. It's a weakness, you know. I just couldn't say no to them.
Exactly.
Do you all get the weekly, I think it's weekly, email from the USCCB, kind of an informational email that they put out? And mm-hmm. The nun that was running just passed away at 68 years old. Sister Mary Ann Walsh, Catholic journalist and longtime bishop spokeswoman. Mm-hmm. I just read about that this morning.
Yeah, she was the public face of the Bishops Conference for many years.
Yeah.
And she was good. I mean, she didn't put up with a lot. If the media started kind of getting a little out of hand, she put them in their place. Mm. You know, she had no problem telling them off with the usual tact and, you know, pose that you would expect from a religious sister, but still make it clear that they need to back down.
There's a quote here on this article that I'm looking at from Sister Mary Ann Walsh. It says, "I entered media because I wanted to help people. I saw people over here who had great needs, and I saw people over here who were willing to meet needs. I thought I could be the bridge. It was the time of Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Waters, and that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be the bridge over troubled waters."
That's cool.
So rest in peace, sister. Yeah, great work that you've done while here in your mortal life. So just wanted to make sure that we brought that up. And there was something that you guys wanted to talk about regarding something about returning the sacraments of initiation to their proper order.
Yes. Yeah, this is a... something that you see kind of more and more in the United States church today, that, you know, people, I think we all kind of grew up with you were baptized as an infant, you received first communion about 7 years old, about second grade, third grade, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And then you received confirmation, maybe junior high, middle school, or high school. And that's what we kind of know. Well, that wasn't the original order. And more dioceses are starting to do what's called a restored order, which is you do baptism as an infant, and then you do confirmation and first communion at seventh. So it goes, you have confirmation after the homily and then first communion at the usual time. And there's recently an article from the Bishop of Hawaii who is going to that restored order. My diocese actually has been doing it since about the year 2000.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how does that work? Does the bishop still come for
yes.
those? So he is also doing first communions then.
Yes, he is.
So
yes,
those have to wait until he can be there.
Yes, if he doesn't get sick, as in the case of my confirmation a week and a half ago, he came here a week ago Monday, and he got sick, so sick that he actually had to delegate to me permission to do the confirmation. That's where I caught mine from. I'm blaming the bishop for the fact that I... But yeah, he was just here like, well, it would have almost been 2 weeks ago now to do that, to do our confirmation. And it is like you think. He does the confirmation, and then he does the First Communion. Hmm. So they get both from him, which is kind of a nice added symbolism to that. It's definitely been a learning experience, though, I think, for a lot of people. And people still aren't really happy about it. Hmm.
But you know, it never seemed to make sense to me that you'd have First Communion before. Well, how is it? Explain to us, Father Corey, how in a lot of places still everything is out of order. What is the proper order?
Well, the proper order is baptism, confirmation, First Communion. You look at the Eastern rites, they do them all at infancy. They receive, they receive baptism, they get confirmed, or they call it chrismation, and then they receive communion at that service.
Now, what point in there is the reconciliation?
As an infant, they don't do it.
But as an older person, I didn't mean the infants.
It's before confirmation.
Okay.
You should, once you reach the age of reason, you should always receive confession before any sacrament. Ideally, here's a hint, by the way, for those who are prospective grooms and brides, receive confession before your wedding. If you're getting married in the church, receive confession first. That way you're preparing yourself to sacramentally receive that marriage. But that's the how it used to be, where you receive confirmation and then First Communion. And kind of looking through the history, it got out of order because they kept creeping forward confirmation and First Communion, or later and later and later in life, because they wanted people to receive communion and be confirmed when they were prepared, what they thought was, they're old enough to understand what was going on, old enough to be prepared. They've memorized their Baltimore Catechism, whether or not that was the actual document they had to memorize, but they knew what the church taught. So it kept getting further and further, and got into, teenager, middle teenager, late teenage years, people were being confirmed and receiving First Communion. I believe it was Pius X came around and said, Pope Pius X said, people should be receiving communion earlier. They should be receiving communion at the age of reason, age of 7. So he moved just communion to the age of 7. So that's how we came out of order. So now instead of confirmation, communion, it was communion, confirmation. Because confirmation stayed where it was at, and that's just wherever each diocese had put it. And in some dioceses, even where each parish puts it. The bishop just works with the parish as far as when the kids will receive it. In dioceses like mine, like Diocese Hawaii, Diocese of Fargo, North Dakota, they're moving it back. They're moving confirmation back to where it should be, to put that order back in. And there are a lot of people who are upset by it. There are... I've had even parishioners, even now, we've been doing it for 15 years this way, and they still don't get it. They don't, there was one article that was linked in the show notes by Billy Kangas about, getting rid of the idea of confirmation as graduation from Catholic studies, from religious education. And people still see it that way. They still want to say, we've got religious educators who say, well, we don't have the carrot anymore. We don't, won't have the carrot on the stick to keep the kids coming to religious education. Well, so be it. You would have lost them anyways. You have parents who say, well, then I can't force my kids, or, whatever. Or they've graduated at 7 years old, which, of course, is not the case. But I think it's important that we get these sacraments back the way they were, because baptism and confirmation are linked. The two, both we receive the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason, that's the real reason for restoring that order, is to get that link back there, back united.
Very interesting. Yeah, I've here in Atlanta, they were trying to you know, put things in proper order as well, I think. And several people were kind of, I think it was more, I don't know if it was an archdiocesan initiation or a effort, or if it was an individual parish effort or whatever, but there was a lot of consternation at a lot of parishes about that.
I'm not sure what they're doing here now, because I know that we've had, there were these discussions about returning it to the proper order, but then they were trying to figure out how to do it, because without just totally overwhelming the bishop, you know, I was like, well, I still got high school and middle school and, you know, that still need it. And then, so I'm going to go back and do it at the younger age too. Right. And it was like, that's like triple duty. I don't know how you could do it. So they're trying to figure out how to do it.
The reason why I know my diocese did it about the year 2000, because we have a confirmation from the year 2000 where it's like three pages. Now, we're a small church. You know, we're a small parish. You know, at most we might have, like this last confirmation, we had eight kids out of the three communities. There were probably about 30 or so, if not more, that were confirmed in this, at this mass, and it was the catch-up mass. Mm-hmm. This is the one that they got all of them that hadn't done it. I can see in bigger towns, bigger cities, maybe having multiple, or you know, spreading them out over a couple of years or something like that, so that it isn't like, okay, Bishop, you get to confirm 200 kids. Have fun.
We're just going to rent out the convention center and we're going to have them all come at once.
Exactly. I've heard of places doing that. So, I mean.
Yeah. And we'll bring in like 10 other bishops to kind of help out.
Well, that's where priests can help out with that too. But
yeah,
it's, that's one of those questions of how do you catch up? Do you continue kids that are already past that point and just catch them as they come by, you know? So you'll have these kids who are, you know, juniors in high school preparing alongside seven-year-olds. That might not work too well. You know, do you just do a 1 year, we're going to get everybody done, just do it and move on? That's how they did it here. But again, this is a small enough town where it's not as big a deal.
Yeah. I seem to remember that there might have been some of that catching up being done at the Easter Vigil. But I'm not sure if I know there were a lot of confirmations, but I think some of them were high school kids that were already in the parish. But I may be wrong about that.
And that would be a way to do it too, is just delegate to the priest for certain age groups. Just do it at your Easter Vigil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that'd be a definite way to do it. It's one of those questions dioceses are going to face as this kind of gains steam. I know Pope Benedict really spoke highly of the restored order. Pope Francis too, I think. I'm trying to think if he's said anything about it. I believe he has, but I know Pope Benedict spoke very highly of the idea when Fargo, Diocese of Fargo, made that change. Of course, I had to laugh. It's like, we've already been doing that. We're ahead of the curve on that one.
Well, speaking of Pope Francis, apparently some NFL fans living in the Philadelphia area aren't very happy with the Pope's upcoming visit in September. Apparently they've had to schedule the first several games of the season as road games, away games, and traditionally that means that you're at a disadvantage.
Yep.
You know, you don't have that hometown advantage, and so a lot of folks have some consternation about that. And there's an article here, Peter King in MMQB, I'm not sure exactly what that is, shares a story of how Pope Francis visiting America caused a big change in the NFL schedule. And so what do you think about that? Are you an Eagles fan, any of you?
Nope.
Me neither. So, actually, too bad.
Doesn't hurt my feelings that they have to be on the road.
And get over it.
Yeah.
I'll remind Eagles fans is Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul II, came to St. Louis, and he celebrated Mass in the end zone of the at the time it was the TWA Dome, because TWA still existed, what's now the Edward Jones Dome. And that next year, the Rams won the Super Bowl.
Hmm.
Not a coincidence, I don't think.
No.
So if the Eagles want a chance, maybe they need to support that. No.
It's all the holy water in the end zone.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. Well, good luck, Eagles. Maybe something will rub off there, right?
Exactly.
No, you know, if they were a championship team, it shouldn't matter if they play on the road, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Doesn't matter where they play if they're that good, huh?
Yeah.
All right. It's time for our last break before we move on to the picks of the week. By the way, anybody in the chat room listening, I'm up for any suggestions you might have for a pick. So we've talked about how you can support SQPN by becoming a friend of SQPN. And we've talked about the CNMC. Don't forget that another nice way to support us, and it's painless, and if you do a lot of online shopping, as I do, at Amazon.com, if you click on one of the links that we have on the SQPN.com webpage, we have several for various countries. If you click on that first, it allows us to receive a little bit of the purchase price that you're paying. And you don't pay any more, but we get a small percentage of the purchase, and it goes right to the StarQuest Production Network. And, you know, you'd think that it wouldn't really make that much difference, but all of you doing that really does make a difference. And each month we get a little bit of that benefit from Amazon.com. So please consider doing that. Try to remember to click on the Amazon.com link before you do your purchases. I love Amazon. It's so easy. I'm a Prime member, which you pay a certain amount of money per year, and then everything you buy on Amazon is delivered for free, 2-day shipping. And I love that. So, and there are some other benefits as well of that. But again, think of us when you go do your shopping on Amazon.com. Also, we've talked about the CNMC and starting your podcast or your blog or whatever. All of that requires that you have some web hosting. And we highly recommend Bluehost.com for your web hosting needs. Steve, right here on our panel, uses it for his blog, Everything Esteban. And Father Roderick uses it for his own personal blog. Sarah Vabulous uses it for her Catholic Drinky blog. And I'm sure there are many others in the SQPN community who are happy consumers of Bluehost.com. And if you're interested, head over to SQPN.com again and look for that Bluehost hosting banner. And when you sign up, they give us a nice little gift. There we go. I like the end there. Okay. So are you all ready for the picks of the week?
Yep.
Not me.
I guess I'm the only one who's ready.
The picks. And meantime, Father Corey is going to tell us about his pick of the week, and Steve and I are not going to be paying attention at all to what he's saying because we're scrambling.
Exactly.
To find
They're
going to
be scrambling, so I could be sitting there talking about them, and they don't even notice it. No, my pick is an article from the National Catholic Register on the amazing and inspiring story of the quadriplegic priest. It's about a priest in New York, actually Pennsylvania, who named Father Bill Atkinson. He was studying actually to become a priest. He was in a priest seminary program. This was back in the 60s, and they were sledding, tobogganing down a hill, and he smacked into a tree was pretty well beat up to the point where he was in a coma for a while. They weren't even sure that he was going to survive. He ended up coming out of it, but he was completely paralyzed from the neck down. He had nothing. Couldn't move his arms or legs, nothing. Eventually, he got permission through the Augustinian order to continue to study, and eventually was ordained with permission of Pope Paul VI. and went and worked as a teacher. He taught at Monsignor Bonner High School in Philadelphia, and spent his life teaching. Of course, you'd have to, if you know something was being written on the chalkboard, you'd have to have a student do it. But he spent his life serving as a priest, as a teacher. And it's a beautiful story. He died about almost 9 years ago now. It's a beautiful story of truly the dignity of life. You know, there are so many who, they would have gotten that accident and maybe would have just given up. Maybe just said, well, I can't walk. I can't feed myself. I can't clothe myself. I can't take care of myself. You know, I may as well just go get, you know, physician-assisted suicide or something like that. You know, be euthanized, basically. And he showed an example of, he was continued to serve beautifully as a priest for all those years, teaching theology and teaching what life is about, that life isn't about quality of life, but it's about serving our Lord and serving our neighbor. So it's a very, very interesting story. It's a beautiful story. It's something for us to think about. And I hope it's a inspirational story for those who suffer some form of a disability, some form of a, you know, maybe they're quadriplegic or paraplegic. Maybe they're, you know, they've had to have, you know, parts, you know, arm or a leg amputated, whatever it is, whatever that they suffer with, they can't walk, whatever it might be. An example of how they can still have a beautiful life, even if they don't have the full functioning of their body, even if there are parts that don't work as they should, that their life isn't over just because they get in an accident like this. And they can't walk like they used to be able to, but they can still give of themselves, and they can still have a wonderful life. So
wonderful.
So that's my pick. I think I've given them enough time to find theirs.
Oh, that was good. You were still vamping. Okay.
I was just mesmerized by what you were saying. I mean, I find those stories very inspiring.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah. And it's inspiring for those of us who, we have the full function of our body.
We take so much for granted. We really do.
Mm-hmm. We complain when, you know, oh, gee, my knee's acting up a little bit. Well, at least my knee still works.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm. Well, I do have a pick, thanks to my helpful folks in the chat room. a young lady there, Joanne, is with us almost every week. And she's in the chat room as MM Catholic, I believe. Let me look over here, make sure. MM Catholic. And, you know, with football, you have Monday morning quarterbacks, right? So in the Catholic Church, we have Monday morning Catholics. And she started a show, a podcast, and it's called Monday Morning Catholics. And let me play a little bit of episode number 69, their latest.
I'll wait. Okay. All right.
Looks like
ready?
They're still getting
in
together.
Three. Come on.
There's Joanne.
In 3, 2, 1.
The orchestra is getting ready. Anyway, we'll turn that off. Thought I'd play a little bit of that. That is the beginning of their Monday Morning Catholic episode 069. And the title of that, Stop and Smell the Sheep. And kind of coincidentally, they talk about confirmation and First Communion rituals and stuff. They probably talked maybe a little bit about this whole, you know, restored order, proper order, that kind of thing of the sacraments. And as I said, great show. They kind of talk about a lot of shows talk about the upcoming readings and what perhaps your priest is going to be talking about in the homily, but they actually wait for the day after, and they kind of talk about homilies and the readings in a post context, I guess. And am I doing that justice, Miss Joanne, in the chat room? Of course, they won't hear me say this for another 30 to 45 seconds. So, okay. Well, anyway, I've actually used Monday Morning Catholics as my pick of the week in the past, but it's been a while, and so it's a good thing to remind everybody that the Monday Morning Catholic Show is a great show. You can learn a lot. In fact, John in the chat room says, even as a cradle Catholic, he learns a lot. And so there you go, Monday Morning Catholic. And you can find him over at mondaymorningcatholic.net.
I just wish they would do it Friday evening so I could crib off it for my homily.
Really? And, well, we'll talk about that in a moment, because there are ways for you to listen to Father Corey and his homilies. But Steve is next for his pick of the week.
I'm sorry. I'm drawing a blank today.
How about the CNMC?
I already did that. I already posted.
We'll do it again.
All right. Fine. I'm going to be at the CNMC, and I hope you are too. That's my pick of the week. Come and hang out. I'm sure there will be nuns and cheese balls and all kinds of things.
Cheese balls. Are you talking about the participants, or are you talking about the actual things you eat?
I decline to clarify my statement further.
And by the way, if you happen to be attending the Eucharistic Congress, which is the day before the CNMC, we will have an exhibit table in the exhibit hall. So come on out, and that's probably where a lot of us SQPNers will be hanging out. And so please come and visit us there at our exhibit table in the exhibit hall at the the Archdiocese of Atlanta Eucharistic Congress on Saturday, June 6th. Or if you happen to be there Friday night as well, we'll be there. Okay. Thank you, Steve. And speaking of Steve Nelson and everything Esteban, tell us what's going on over there. Anything?
Well, I've got a couple of posts that I'm working on to sort of catch up a little bit, some of my travels. So I've just, it's been hard trying to find time to actually sit down and do those, but they're coming. So if you like some of my photographs, you like some of the, about the travel I've been doing, go over and check out everythingestapon.com.
We'll do that. You won't be sad that you did. That's not really what I was trying to say. But,
that's a rousing endorsement there.
Yeah.
Cool, make you sad.
I mean, there are probably a lot of other things you could waste your time on that would be worse. I'm sorry, that didn't really come out.
You'll be no worse for wear if you go there.
Nothing will offend you.
Well, you know, by the way, there are a lot of interesting things. He has some sub-blogs or whatever you call them, talking about Civil War stuff. And it's lot of interesting things over there on Steve's site. So check it out. A Bluehost.com hosted site.
Yes.
Everything Esteban.com. Father Corey. Father Corey Stika.org? No,
nope,
I messed that up.
Just frcorey.org.
Frcorey.org. And the name of the blog?
It's Laudet Dominum.
There you go.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And that way, that's where you can go and listen to Father Corey give his homilies.
Yep. I've post my homilies there under the homily tab. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that kind of good stuff. It's at Fr Corey Stika, Frcory Stica.
Excellent. And Steve Nelson, Steve _ Nelson, if you want to find him out there in the social media places. I'm Jeff Nielsen, Captain Jeff, the Catholic pilot or airline pilot guy. And I'm out there on Facebook and Twitter as Airline Pilot Guy. And airlinepilotguy.com is a place for you to learn about my aviation podcast. And sounds like the music is coming up a little bit, so that means that we're getting close to the end. Thanks for everyone in the chat room coming out and hanging out with us today. And hope everybody has a great week and a great Catholic weekend. Take care, and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.